of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I am Aaron Lingley, and as usual, I am joined by your Alliance Council extraordinaire, Nicholas Biella.
Hello.
Good evening, my friend. How are you? Cameron is on assignment.
Cameron is on assignment, yes. It's been a busy day today for me. I just picked up Bernadette from the airport. She was in L.A. for Beyonce's opening night. Last night, so
my coworker was at the concert. Drove up from San Diego.
Yeah. So good times there. How about yourself? How are you doing?
Good. SoCal life. Contemplating going to the Mariners. Actually, not contemplating. It's going to happen. I just don't have the tickets. Mariners versus Padres.
The Vetter
Sunday
Cup
game at 1:10. The Vetter Cup. Yes, exactly. I'm thinking about a daddy-daughter date a la the Sounders SDFC match we went to. So
nice.
That is on the radar. Going to maybe join is my idea. I invited some of the work dads that I have. I have kids about the same age as Gracie. So I think it was like three of us go with our 4 to 5 year old and have some beers.
Love it.
And speaking of, I have my stubby holder in my hand. And I have a drink ready to inhale.
Well, let's definitely do that. Let's crack these bad boys open. Ready?
Let's crack these bad boys. 1, 2, 3. Ooh, both pretty good. I think I liked yours better. You got the Rainier.
Yeah, I got some Rainier today.
Adam and R.
I do. You know, this is going to be it's going to be a little bit different. I'd like to start today's episode off with a little bit of a...
You don't want to hear about my drink first?
You know what? Yes, let's go for your drink.
We got to have a cheers first.
We do.
Sorry.
It's not
a beer. It's a High Noon.
I see.
It's a grapefruit High Noon, which these are actually pretty fantastic.
It's got that nice citrus.
With the warm weather that we have.
Yeah.
It actually is a good balance, but because it's always warm here, this is pretty much the constant we have in our fridge right now, for like going to the pool or going to the park, because it is such an outdoor drink. It's been a while since I've had an IPA, maybe about a full 4 or 5 days.
Oh, wow. Are you a grapefruit Radler kind of person?
I don't know what the last part of that was. What's a Radler?
Radler, like the Schafferhoffers, which is, you know, like a 2% beer where it's kind of a wheat beer with grapefruit juice.
No.
They're really, really good. You've probably had the Stiegels. If you've seen the
cans, they sound familiar.
If you've seen the can, you'd be like, oh, I know what those are. Well, sorry for interrupting you while you were describing your High Noon. There's not going to be a good segue from
very
this.
Important.
So, you know,
So
unfortunately, I just kind of want to lead off this show by sending some well wishes to a dear friend in our soccer community, ECS co-president Tom Biro. He was involved in an accident Monday around 2 a.m. where he was struck by a wrong way driver who fled the scene, hit and run. Leaving Tom with some pretty bad injuries, currently in ICU. And so just wanted to kind of send out some well wishes there. He's highly regarded in the Seattle soccer community. He was my co-coach a few years ago in Pub League. Just an all-around wonderful guy. ECS is asking to a reminder to donate blood to Bloodworks Northwest or your local blood bank if you're able to. Tom is a regular for donating blood and platelets. And then there is a GoFundMe for helping out with things regarding this accident. I think we'll put that in the show notes, and we'll put that in the Discord as well. But really want to just send some well wishes out to someone who doesn't deserve a hit and run. Just a great guy, and hope he gets a speedy recovery.
Yeah, it's messed up news. And not the first time recently that I've heard of like a serious, actually one before was fatal, that I heard from my friend about wrong way driving, like drunk on the complete opposite side of the road. And it's just fucking ridiculous. Don't drink and drive, people.
No. I mean,
it's terrible.
Yeah, so unfortunately, that's kind of starting off the
in the show notes. In the show notes, I just put the link, so there we have it.
Perfect.
And there is no good segue into or out of that. However, I do have a question I wanted to ask you that is non-Sounders or soccer related. I just thought it'd be kind of a quirky way to start the show. Do you watch Family Guy? Have you watched Family Guy?
Yeah. It's been a little while since I've seen an episode, but a big fan.
Okay. So there was an episode, I haven't watched it in a while either, but it just popped in my head for some reason. I was starting to think of other irrational things that you could have, like, add to your daily life. For example, in the episode I was thinking of, Peter Griffin has, like, his own theme music that follows him around all day. You know what I mean?
Going the whole Randy Newman.
Yeah.
Take a bite out of an apple. So, like, it's Randy. Yeah, I love that. I reference that from time to time. So, yeah.
So I'll give you a moment to think because I already have mine. So what would be yours, right? Mine would be, you know, when you're watching, I don't know if you watch basketball, either college or NBA, or really any basketball, but.
Not a lot, but from time to time.
Okay. I'm sure you know, like when someone dunks or a huge block.
Yeah.
You in the background, you see the bench jump up and like hold each other back, and you know, do I want for every like cool thing I do, I want in the background a bench to be like, oh shit, did you see that? What? Have my own bench just to kind of like get me going. Yeah. Or I'm about to do something, they all stand up and then I like don't complete it and they all just kind of sit down quietly.
Yeah. Oh, the scorgasm. I call that a premature scorgasm, where you know, like like in hockey, where shot looks like it's going into the net and goalie makes a save, everyone jumps up to go, and then just kind of exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah.
So that would be mine.
So that'd be yours. So for me, what would I want as my theme?
Irrational.
If you will?
Yeah. Yeah. Your irrational addition.
You know, honestly, it wouldn't suck to have a supporter section behind me doing whatever I'm doing. You know, whether it's
chanting, waving flag, you wake up, you take a shit.
Someone cuts me off. You know, and you've got 300 people screaming, "You dirty cheating bastard! You dirty!" You know, like that. That's it. You know, just give me a supporter section, my own personal supporter section.
Yours is better because it's relevant to the podcast that we do.
No, I actually do love the idea of a whole bunch of people following you like down the street, like holding each other back and reacting. So I don't think there's a wrong answer here. But yeah, it's good times. Okay. What other kind of scuttlebutt do you have?
Well, we've got a few actually in our mailbag in the Discord. Please join it. Link is in the show description. So we have, I guess we should probably mention that we're coming off a 1-1 draw against Colorado, in Colorado.
I think we're going to hit a lot of that for the second half of the show, right?
I just hadn't mentioned it at all. We started the whole show and we're a Sounders podcast, didn't even mention that we're coming off of that performance. So yeah, second half, we'll talk about that. But Kenny Sloth has a question here. We got Patrick GC, the regulars. So yeah, we'll start. Kenny says, how many fans does Seattle Sounders have? 250K? A million? More? I don't know.
Now, as a data analyst, this is a great question.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I don't know how I could probably come up with a reasonable number, but I'm sure you have some thoughts.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I'm gonna do this, the way I would do it is very, very methodical. You'd want to figure out, one, what represents a fan. How do you do that? Is it
That's what Tim
viewership?
says, actually.
Is it likes on Instagram or Twitter, social media, that kind of stuff? And that's how you would have to come up with some sort of a system to comparatively analyze it in comparison to other similar teams. I don't think you can really just say, oh, it's this many. There's no way to definitive know. It's an unknowable question. But that's what makes it a fun question.
What tier do you think we'd be at?
Top five in MLS, hands down, absolutely. We'd have top five most fans in MLS, I would say that. How to compare outside of US soccer or against other professional sports teams, I don't know. Where it'd be interesting, it would be a comparison of, would there be more Sounders fans than, say, the lowest attended NHL team, thinking like Arizona Coyotes before they relocated? Like thinking about that, trying to think of like, oh, because I don't think we're not going to touch any football team. We're not going to touch,
NFL, you mean, right?
we're not going to touch any NFL teams. We're not going to touch any baseball teams, just longevity and years. Basketball and hockey are a little more niche, could possibly, but basketball has become so global in a lot of ways. It's
Well,
a
I mean,
really
soccer's pretty
interesting.
global.
Well, yeah, but soccer is also, there are an infinite number of teams almost. The number of professional leagues around the world in soccer just blows away all the other sports. And so it is a great question. I mean, it'd be fun to do some comparisons between, Canadian football teams, NHL teams, and just see how many followers each team has. And I think that's how I'd probably try to analyze that.
Just rank them essentially. But yeah, I mean, the Sounders' breadth, if we could correlate it to our viewership, we're in Japan, Canada, the United States of America. We have, I think it's a Mozambique, Norway, Italy, Guatemala, Mexico, Portugal, Australia, Singapore. Yeah, there's Mozambique, Greece. So, and I don't believe these to be bots. So we actually do have people that are at least listening in these cities because there is like a bot filter. Oh, and our cat listens to us.
Oh yeah, cats love the
Argentina,
Sounders.
Andorra, Germany, France, United Kingdom, Sri Lanka. Yeah, so there's at least one Sounder fan in all these countries. So that gives you an idea of the breadth of the.
So just to give you a little context, on Twitter, there are 563,000 followers. On Facebook, there's 786,000 followers. Instagram, there's 383,000 followers. So, I mean, that kind of gives you a starting point. So, I would definitely suggest that your
I'm going to go
cat's
ahead and let my
hungry.
cat
Your cat's hungry.
out.
So yeah, while you're letting the who let the cats out? Who? I would probably say that, one, I'd question like what's the how relevant that number might be. I like the team, you like the team, we all like the team, great. But it is a fun question to ask, And so in the end, how much does it matter how many fans there are? I'm not entirely sure, but I think it'd be more easier to compare against other teams versus just to come up with a number for us. That's my thought.
Patrick GC says, De Rosario, the little one, first team contract win. they can keep him loaned down, but I feel he should get locked in. Do they have roster space for him and the under 22? I don't know what De Rosario is doing right now, to be honest. I don't know. Is he doing good? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, Tacoma's
good enough to have this question.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not entirely. I trust the process and I trust the team on this, but the jump between MLS Next Pro to MLS is quite significant. Let's put it this way. I would 100% take Danny Musovski even when he was struggling. I would take Jesus Ferreira 100% over De Rosario as a forward. We do this as Sounders fans quite a bit, where we see success in some of, you know, lower division levels, and we want that to happen for us on the larger part. And more often than not, it doesn't. Think Oleg Sanderson, think Andy Craven back in the day. However, I'm not going to say that it's without success, because honestly, I kind of put Paul Rothrock in that same boat when he was scoring in his first three appearances as a Sounder. You know, it was like I didn't believe that he had what it takes to be a first teamer, that it was more of a, you know, more of a, oh, that's just a really good run, that's good for him, but he's not going to make it into this level. So I could be wrong, but in the end, I trust the club to make that decision, because my talent evaluation skills are nowhere near theirs.
Yeah, and I honestly couldn't give you just an answer other than I'm not ready to see any more tinkering as we get players back. I want to get them in the rotation. Jordan's on the bench. We have a brand new signing. Mm-hmm. Also on the an offensive player. I'll ask it right now, because we're talking about forwards, and I think it's getting a little ironically log jammed because of production from Moose, right? I don't think adding a De Rosario to the depth, I don't think it would be good for him. I don't think he's going to get playing time. But what do I know?
Yeah, I mean, in the end, the club's going to do the right thing. They get it right more than they get it wrong. I also don't believe they're going to want to give De Rosario a contract, because they're probably looking for an under 22 signing in that forward position. That's probably where they're going to look to sign a U22. So, you know, if you do that, you're not really giving him an opportunity to play into the first team. I also don't know how long his contract is. Next Pro contracts don't get released publicly in the same way that MLS ones do. So outside of a random news dump, I'm just not going to know how long he's under contract.
Do you know anyone that understands the MLS roster construction, I guess more specifically the Sounders, that could explain it to like a layman that, like, knows it better than like maybe you and Cameron, like truly? Because I've always been like, well, I think it's one, it's because the league has evolved so much, and in the last probably 5-6 years, I've stopped really digging too deep into the mechanics of our league. Yeah. Not that I was digging deep before, but I think that would be maybe a good kind of like, can we have a teaching segment in a, like a Patreon episode or something like that? It's like, here's how our roster is constructed and why, and here's what we cannot do and what we can do. Even if we had this kind of money, we, you know, I'm just,
there are definitely some people that I would think about, whether or not they would be available for an interview. A couple of the people that I'm thinking about are no longer with the Sounders. But that's
I just meant anybody.
Yeah. Well, most of the information is actually out there. The MLS roster rules are there.
I don't want to do that.
No, I get that.
I'd rather chat GPT it or get a human being.
No, no, I get it. I get it.
I don't want to do any work.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, you've seen me with the FIFA Club World Cup stuff and the Champions League and the World Cup. I read those regulations because I'm very interested and I geek out over that stuff. I've done the same thing with the roster rules as well, but I'm not going to say I'm an expert at it, but I do have a pretty good understanding of it. But there are definitely some people whose opinions I trust quite a bit when it comes to some of that. Some of those mechanisms, especially when you're talking about those supplemental spots and, you know, those the way those hit the cap differently and such.
And
that's
such.
Something that you love and hate about the MLS, for sure. Hey, you know, I do have a little bit of a scuttlebutt that I wanted to kind of quickly toss out there. Tomorrow morning, Ballard FC will be officially launching their annual artist jersey. Every year they do a community kit. They do a third jersey with a local artist. One year it was Henry, but they do a local jersey. Stevie Shaw was last year's kit, and they've all been really good. But they've teased a little bit of it this morning. And what they teased was really interesting because what they teased is the badge being a lenticular badge so that depending on how you view the badge, it will change and that it's going to be one part of the badge will say Ballard FC. The other part of the badge will be the Salmon Bay FC, which is the ladies' team. And it's the Sarah Robbins kit. Looks like there's going to be some sort of palm trees or some sort of I'm not entirely sure, but I'm very curious to see how that
palm
vibe's
trees.
Going to be.
That's weird.
Well,
but
it looks
cool.
I'm only seeing like 3 square inches of the jersey.
Reserve judgment.
Yeah. So it looks kind of tropical, I guess I would say. But I'm very excited to see because honestly, the Ballard FC jerseys have been fire. They really
Give me the link. Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes.
Well, by the time we post this, we'll actually have the actual jersey launch.
Oh, really? When's it come out? It
should be tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Never mind.
but still. But I just
go check it out
just so you can take a look at it. But yeah, it's good stuff. Ballard, are using a Canadian manufacturer called Anaria, and they've been coming up with some really good designs in their jerseys. Really like what the work they've done. So hats off to Ballard for that. Some more scuttlebutt stuff going on.
The Henry one, that was pretty good. Yeah, Alex Diaz. Looks like he actually forwarded some from the match day channel. What's worse, the P-Chant or throwing beer on everyone?
Oof.
I mean, I'm going to go with one's just blatantly offensive. The other one is disrespectful. But sometimes, like, when are you throwing the beer? Is it after a major goal? Is it, like, in LAFC is the one that throws a beer after every goal? Which I know. You also need to know where you're sitting, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I would be less pissed off if I guess if I brought Gracie. I would not want to explain the first one. I would just say someone had an accident and move seats and be angry about it, but...
Both of them.
I've definitely been soaked by beer and liked it. So,
both of them are not great. If I'm going to be soaked in beer, we better have just won a championship, not scored a goal on a Saturday afternoon to make it 2-1.
Yeah.
Like, the only time I've gotten soaked with beer was Game 7, Detroit Red Wings versus Colorado Avalanche. I'm wearing my Dominik Hasek Czech Republic jersey. We're in a Detroit sports bar in Denver, and Denver, right across the street from the Detroit sports bar, is the main Avalanche bar. And it's just this—it's just this really fun, you know, rivalry for sure. And that game was winner goes on to the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7, Hasek versus Patrick Waugh. And after the first period, Detroit was up 5 or 6-0. It just one of those things. It was almost like the Women's World Cup game where 15 minutes into the game was over, and there was no drama. But in the midst of all these goals, just beer just kept getting just tossed everywhere, and I still have some beer stains on my jersey. It really pissed me off for a long time right away, but now when I look at those stains, I kind of think of that night, and I'm like, okay, that was kind of special. But if that happened on just basically any other game other than that, fuck those people. So with that in mind, I would prefer to see the beer throwing because, and this is my logical brain, it's a lot easier to kick out the person throwing the beer than to try and identify who was the one that said the P chant and get them out of there. Mm-hmm. Both behaviors absolutely should lead to ejection from the stadium. I want neither of them anywhere in my soccer stadium, but the beer throwing is a lot easier to identify. So that's where I'd rather have that just because I can get them removed.
Fair enough. I think the only time I've been soaked by beer was at like a concert, and that was like in the pit. Totally reasonable. Like I'm thinking it was Fall of Troy, which is not my particular type of music, but I usually chameleon myself at a live show.
Yeah,
and
I
was in the pit, and it's like a screamo band, and people were going nuts. And it was kind of fun. I just kind of went with it. I was pretty drunk too, but
I think you saw. I think
to be 21.
You touched on a part of that is really important. Is when you know in advance that that's the kind of atmosphere you're going into, mm-hmm. you can prepare accordingly.
Yeah.
You know, if I know I'm going to an Insane Clown Posse show or a, or who are the ones that dress up in the big penis costume.
Guar,
thank you.
Oh.
If I know I'm going to one of those shows, I know I'm wearing stuff that's going to get destroyed. You know, I'm dressing appropriately. You don't go to a Sarah McLachlan show and expect to get a beer dumped on you.
We're a Pluto chant.
An angel. And then just like throwing beer, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Just things you don't expect.
It's funny.
I crack myself up sometimes, I guess. But that is a great question. Both of them absolutely suck.
Both suck. All right. What do you say we get to the second half of the show?
Yeah, let's do that. We got a lot to talk about the game.
Cameron hasn't been... Yeah, and Cameron hasn't been on the show, so he needs his part, which is his little promo. Here you go, Cameron.
Hey, everybody. This is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right. We would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
All right, let's see if we can get to the through review of this match without my cat joining in. His name is Captain James Hook, by the way. No one
love it.
All right, so we play Colorado in Colorado. So 5,000 feet up, what have you? 1-0, or sorry, not 1-0. 1-1. Road draw, goal scored. Didn't have our best players starting. And there's been some negativity, including Cameron said he's not able to make it tonight to us, but he did say he has nothing good to say anyway.
Like, yeah, so I don't get
positive
it.
To take away.
Let's start, either, with, let's start with the, let's start with the lineup. First off, it looks like Brian Schmetzer wanted to continue to reward the players who had been performing in the last two games. The Nashville 3-0 win and the 1-0 Dallas game on the road. Because we saw Danny Musovski start. We saw Kim Keehee again. We saw Paul Rothrock. No Albert Rusnak. No Jordan Morris. We didn't see any of that. I kind of felt I could take it or leave it. I get it. Long season. What were your thoughts on the lineup?
Like, the lineup? I didn't really think too much of it. I was pretty much the same as you. It's like, okay, this has been productive. We just came off 3-0. Pretty good match. And I actually predicted we'd have multi-score, probably another shutout, just because we just witnessed that against Nashville, who destroyed. Who did they just play?
Nashville? Oh, this week they put a 7 spot up on Chicago.
Chicago 7-2 is what it ended up, but it was 7-0 with no red cards. So I mean, Chicago's terrible, but still, they are humans and they're in your way.
and keep in mind 5 first half goals.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So we just scored 3 first half goals against them, and then we're on the road. We have a winning record against Colorado, but that's including at home. I think if you mentioned this before, in Colorado, the high altitude, locations, we struggle. Obviously,
hasn't been as bad as Real Salt Lake, but you're not wrong.
The worst.
We've done okay in Colorado, but I also feel like we're constantly not getting our first choice lineups in Colorado.
I feel like
that happens a lot.
So, I was happy with the lineup. I wasn't considering what we just witnessed the week before. So, and I was expecting to see Ryan Kent a little earlier. He didn't even come on at all.
Wait, against...
Right?
Against,
did I miss that?
Yeah, you did. He came on in the 75th
minute. Oh, that's right. So he still got 15
71st.
Minutes.
71st.
I was expecting more like 20 or 30. But I'm happy with it. I do recall.
He got his 20, yeah.
I think I was upset because he wasn't in yet, but it's also I'm getting nitpicky. Kosa Rienzi had a great game, literally had an assist, and he's been really showing up. I'm taking his opportunity. So
I mean, I could see that.
Road draw?
I'm happy with the road draw.
Undefeated in those 3?
Yeah, I'm happy with the road draw. I think where
One goal in 3 matches we've given up.
I'm gonna
Sorry.
suspect that where people are frustrated is that this game was largely dominated by Colorado. Like, it just felt like they were the ones dictating how the game was being played. They weren't dominating in shots or even expected goals. They did get more shots, but only 4 on target. But they just like it, when you see those game state graphs, I'm not sure exactly how they
The
measure that,
5 minute
like the
intervals.
momentum. Yeah, the momentum meters.
I
It
think it's
was.
just possession.
I feel like it's got to be a little more than that, but I really don't
I don't
know.
think it is. I think it's possession.
So I think it's just.
Literally, actually, the stat on here right now, I'm on the website for the stats. It says possession and has a 5 minute intervals.
Okay, interesting, because
You should.
we're, you know, what I'm showing you is very,
Yeah.
very red. Very red.
Yep.
But I thought defensively, I thought we played a really good game. I had spoken earlier that Georgi Mihalovic, you don't want to give him a free kick. And I think that's where some people, there was some consternation on the on our Discord during our match day thread with Georgi Mihalovic taking that free kick and the wall jumping, but that's what the wall is supposed to do.
I know. Sometimes you get caught with your pants down on that. It's a risky shot to take, but I wasn't upset with
And Georgi has scored multiple free kicks from within 5 yards of that spot. And so I'm not shocked that that happened. As a matter of fact, leading up to it, when the foul was called, I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. Did not feel good about that.
I mean, I was more upset really with how the match started, and then it evened out for me, and I was like, okay, we had our backs against the ropes for the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Could have been 3 or 4 nothing, legitimately. I think, without Roldan saving that off the line, doing what he was supposed to do on a corner kick, without the what 1 minute later another corner kick from the
Yeah,
same
those two
corner
corners
that he
were
had it
just like
just over the bar.
not our
Yeah, that
best
was like, get
moments.
your shit together, guys. And
Yeah.
literally,
Playing with
thanks to
fire.
Roldan, that it wasn't 2 nothing, real 1 nothing, thanks to Roldan. But and
I
then
thought.
that Bassett off the post. I mean, Kim Keehee showed that he still got enough gas to affect that shot, but he still should have scored.
Oh,
Reagan
100%.
probably catches up and shoulders him off, but still a
I
game arm.
loved
Come on, dude.
I loved the effort from Kim Keehee to basically not give him the ability to cut towards the center of the net, minimizing that opportunity. He literally didn't touch the ball or touch him in any way, but the way he got back prevented him from being able to do that. So great play. A little disappointed in
Forced a
Yamar
left-footed
this game.
shot.
Yamar did not have his
Yeah, I
best
mean.
game. I will say that was a bit of a criticism for me. I will also say that I think the other part that gets people a little upset is that 90th minute where we have that breakout and Jordan starts sprinting down the line and pulls up with an injury. And that was really worrying. And the latest news on that is that he has undergone a second MRI. That was this morning. The first MRI was unclear. So they should know tomorrow what's going to happen. So he's almost certainly going to be out for the next game. I would expect him to be out for the next game. Hopefully it's just not bad. We'll see what happens there. But
He finished
that was
the
a
match
bummer.
though, right?
No, he did get subbed off at the very end.
I must have missed that. I know I actually watched the match that night, which is rare for me, but I know the
Like
last like 15 minutes was
literally,
kind of
yeah,
foggy.
literally 90th minute. It was, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. But that kind of leads to a point that I jotted down on my notes here is that Moose, and I mentioned earlier, Moose's production. I mean, if this is a time we really need to kind of sit Morris down for longer, clearly he's going to be out, but to really take our time, make sure it's right for maybe the playoff push, because he seems a little tender. Moose, yeah. Is this production real?
Yeah, yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, you know what? I'm going to say yes. The goals haven't been sexy. They've been opportunistic. The Nashville goal was sexy, where he makes that deflection, that jump kick with his heel. That was sexy.
Yeah, that was nice.
But this is going back to last season. How many times, I feel like a broken record, where I'd say what I love about Moose is he keeps putting himself in dangerous positions. He's putting himself in opportunities to make those tap-in goals, to make those dirty Dave Andrechuk, if we're going old school 80s hockey, Dino Cicerelli type of, you know, get in the crease and just bang it home from 2 feet out. And he's doing that, and I was really loving his efforts on that. And so now this is just kind of everything coming good. You keep putting yourself in those positions, your opportunities will come. And he was snake bit a little bit in the past, and right now he's got a good run where he keeps doing the same thing he's been doing. I'm not sure he's changing much, but now those balls are falling to him. So great. I'm thrilled, and this is kind of what I envisioned could be what we expect to see from him.
He is our leading goal scorer with 3. He's got, looks like, no assists. Expected goals is 4.5, and I do remember he started the season missing some sitters. But yeah, he and Jordan Morris each have 3 with 50 more minutes and 5 more games.
There was a really interesting stat that
Masovsky.
No, don't do that. Did you call him Masovsky?
Masovsky. I've had a whole 9 noon. Give me a break.
No. I thought you were criticizing when he would miss those sitters, calling him Masovsky.
I'm like, oh, I should have. That would have been great. Damn it. Yes, I did say that.
But someone came up with a stat. I'm not sure where I heard this. It might have been one of our fellow podcasts. But it was somewhere when Jordan or Danny Masovsky are on the field, we are outscoring teams by a ridiculous margin. Our XGs are much better. When neither of those two forwards are on the field, we're getting outscored 5-0, and it's not looking pretty. So I think that kind of talks about the idea is that could be a sign that having a true forward in this system, because we've largely played mostly the same formations for the most part throughout the season, could be a good thing. Now,
and been happens? pretty stable and consistent around midfield and back and then defense.
And so now what happens next week? If let's assume Jordan's out, it's almost certain that he's out. You know, what's going to happen? Do you put Masovsky up there? 3 goals in 3 games. I think you kind of do. I don't think you screw around with testing out new formations. But the question is, what do you do about Albert Rusnak, who got 40 minutes in this game? What do you do about Ryan Kent, who got 21 minutes or 19 minutes in this game plus stoppage time? So some attacking options who might be able to eat some minutes. Could Ryan Kent come in as a forward? I have no idea. I don't think so. But we do have some attacking options, and just figuring out how to put them in a formation against a stubborn St. Louis team who we've already seen this year, and we've already talked about how stubborn they are. It'll be interesting to see. Do you want to do the preview now, or do you have anything else to add about that Colorado match? I thought it was well officiated.
I think we give a little shout out. Yeah, I think we give a shout out to Josh Atencio starting against us.
Yeah, and at one moment there was a little bit of physicality between him and Rothrock, and they were both kind of laughing at each other about it, you know. But yeah. He kind of liked seeing that.
Yeah, and then I liked seeing that he's getting minutes, because I always liked him, but it's just, yeah, our young midfield was just too stacked for his time with us. So on?
Yeah,
and I'm happy with Obed.
I think the announcer said it. I think we said it when the original trade got mentioned. It's kind of one of those win-win-win situations. Atencio gets to play. We got good value out of it in over $1 million in GAM. And then Colorado gets a player they need in a position of need. I mean, he's been playing in almost all of their games. He's been in 9 matches this year. And he's been really solid for that team. So good for him. Just really, really happy for him.
Yeah. And let's see. I think that's... Yeah, we don't have to talk about that. I'm looking at my notes here. Yeah, let's get to a little preview. Who do we got coming up next?
St. Louis City. We get to play St. Louis at home. St. Louis, who we lost to 1-0 earlier this year, as you may remember, there was that early goal from them, and then just basically we kept putting the pressure on, but they just bunkered down, and we just couldn't get anything out of that. It was also a game where we didn't have Jordan. We didn't have Pedro de la Vega. We tried to start Jesus Ferreira up top, and that didn't quite work. That was one of those aforementioned games where Musovski was not on the field until the 64th minute. So, in the end, I'm excited to see the tables turn. I'm very excited that one of St. Louis City's big players in their defensive midfield, Alfredo Morales, got a red card, so he will not be available. That's a damn shame. So they'll be down a key player in that match. And
tough cookies.
that's a damn shame.
I want to win. I don't.
I like winning. So,
I don't want to win.
So here's to that.
Where are they in the standings? They're 12th in the Western Conference with 10 points, 2 wins, 4 losses, 4 draws, 7 goals, 4 and 8 against, -1 goal differential if you can do math. This should be.
We're at home.
I was looking at. Yeah, this should be a win. Like, that's
we've got enough attacking options that we should be able to find goals at home. I think you're absolutely right.
Man, only 8 goals against, though. That's pretty.
No, but Berkey's still got a broken hand. They have 6, 7 players on their injury report, the suspended player. So they are a little battered. Hopefully we can take advantage of that. They've been struggling as of late. Since we played them, they've lost 3, tied 2, 3 straight losses, followed by their most 2 recent games as ties. But the 2 ties were against Vancouver 0-0 and LAFC 2-2. So
yeah, because they're not scoring either.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. I do expect us to come out guns blazing. I'd like to see us. I'd be curious to see if Ryan Kent gets a start over Paul Rothrock. I think it all depends. Honestly, it depends on what. This is where our depth comes into play. This is the situation where Brian gets to take a look at our players and go, okay, what players can I utilize specifically to attack St. Louis's style? And that's a great position we have, where it's in previous years, it's like, well, here are our 11 starters. This is pretty much, we can predict who our starters are going to be. Now, I think this season, there are a number of positions where I have no idea who's going to start. And I kind of like that. And it's not because of being ineffectual. It's because we actually have talent options. So really excited about that. One other thing about this week we haven't talked about. Do you plan on watching tomorrow the Inter Miami Vancouver CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinal?
I hadn't thought about it. I think I will probably turn it on though.
Because at this point,
not live. Yeah. But like my usual 10 p.m. throw something on, fall asleep on the couch thing. Yeah.
Because Vancouver got the home result. They won 2-0. And they looked pretty damn good doing it. So they held Miami to a shutout. So Vancouver gets a road goal tomorrow. And Miami's going to need 4 goals to win. That math right? Yeah, because 3-3.
I think so.
Well, yeah, it's if Vancouver scores 1 goal, Miami needs 4. I don't trust Miami's defense to get a shutout, but I also don't know if Vancouver is going to be trying to play for a 0-0. I don't think that's the right approach to take if I'm Vancouver. Like, if you're going to bunker, you're opening yourself up to getting destroyed. But it'll be very interesting. Both teams kind of left a lot of. They played a rotated squad on Sunday. Vancouver getting the 3-1 win. Miami losing to Dallas 4-3. So we'll see. But I am excited. I think in the end, what I really don't want is I don't really want an MLS team to win the CONCACAF if it's not us.
If it's not us, yeah, I agree.
But if a team's going to win it, I'd be okay if it's Vancouver. I want no joy from Miami. I definitely want no joy from Miami on that, especially this year.
What if it was particular. Portland? If it was Portland, Miami.
If it was Portland or Miami, no, I'd probably actually.
No, like they were playing each other.
I'd probably go Portland. As much as I hate it, a successful Cascadia makes all of us better. Keep in mind from 2011, from 2011 to something stupid like 2023, one of us, Seattle or Portland, was in the Western Conference Final.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's another logical answer. That doesn't mean it feels good, and I don't want to talk about it anymore.
But crazy enough, it was never both of us. We were never in the Western Conference Finals against each other.
That is weird. Yeah.
It's almost like the late 80s, early 90s, where it was always either San Francisco or Buffalo with success, but they never played each other in the Super Bowl, you know, but like one of those two teams from basically 88 to anyways, moving on.
So how about this? Let's rapid fire.
Okay.
Because we don't know what the lineup is going to be. Let's just come up with one.
Okay.
You do yours. I'll do mine. And then we will just say our predictions and have James take us away.
That sounds like fun.
I already wrote mine out, so I'm going to do it.
Oh, okay? That sounds like a good idea.
All right. Up top, Moose. Dela Vega, Rusnak, Jesus. CR7, Obed. So this is a three-band behind Moose. And then you got your two defensive midfielders right there. Obed, Christian, and then Nuhu, Bell, Yamar, Alex, Fry. No one's injured, right? No one got injured in the last minute of the match that I'm unaware of. That
not named Jordan Morris?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, and
I'm going to go ahead and say my prediction while you keep thinking.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it is going to be 1-0 us and Jesus gets his first goal.
Okay.
Remind me to put that on my prediction sheet you drop in the Discord.
Speaking of which, big success to Dan the Bastard, who's had a nice run this year. He's won a few of these.
He's owning everyone.
He got all 5 points. He got Danny Musovsky, one of three of us. I also chose Danny Musovsky. And I think Alex Diaz also chose Danny Musovsky. And then got the score right and everything. So good job on you. Once again, if you want to join us on that, I post it every match day. At the end of the season, we'll give a prize to whoever has the highest overall score, but then we'll also have another prize for everyone that has participated in any game. So if you participate in 5 games, we'll get 5 entries. You participate in 20 games, you'll get 20 entries. And this way, even if you're not playing every single week, you still have opportunities to win something cool. And right now, I'll be honest, I have a few different ideas. I've got some stuff that I think you might appreciate, but we'll come up with some good stuff to.
You kind of have to do this because you need to get rid of some of the shit. Both you and Cameron are hoarders of Sounders memorabilia.
You say it like
or a bad just thing. Used clothing. No, it's not. It's just the opposite of me, and I have nothing. I respect it. I just it's between. Money, time, and I don't know. I do want more stuff, but it doesn't matter.
It's also...
Come on, what's your lineup?
Okay, so we're going to start with Fry and Goal. We are going to do Nuhu, Kim Kihi, and Yamar in the back three. I think we're going to do...
Kim is our difference.
I think we're going to do Kent at home. I think we're going to do Kent instead of Rothrock. Ooh. We're going to do Obed and Christian. And Alex instead of KKR, instead of Kosarienzi. So the Roldans will play side by side. Oh my God, if I do that, then this doesn't make sense. But okay. Then we're going to do Musovsky. No. Yeah. How do you not put Albert in? It's like,
I did.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, how do I take out one of De La Vega, Musovsky, Ferreira, to put in Albert? You know, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Okay, I think Moose gets subbed out for Kent shortly after, so probably around the 60-minute mark, maybe even longer. But and Jesus moves up top. I think that's going to happen. So it'd be Kent, Rusnak, De La Vega across the attacking band in front of Christian and Obed, who are in front of Tolo, Bell, Yamar and Alex. I think just mileage on Kim playing the last few matches. I think Bell, who's shown well, deserves some minutes.
So what do you think our
Alex
formation
as well
is?
Deserves some minutes. It'll be a 4-2-3-1.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Which they're familiar with, right? They all. It's not like it's a big change. We pretty much play that way until we get the ball. So,
yeah.
Like between a 5-man back line and
yeah, the lineup prediction, I just, again, we have champagne problems in that we have high quality people who can start every game where you can't get it for all of them to be starting every game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So that's why I think it's just a fun exercise to do it specifically for this one. Knowing it's like, hey, we're not coming up with best 11. How do we use them all at once? It's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
so
doing it on the fly is really tough, by the way. I wish you would have given me a heads up. But even still, I would have had the time. Well, you are
I did
a better
it on the
man
fly. I just
I
used Excel. I am. I don't mean that.
Thank you.
Just so you know.
Yeah. Thank you. You're good. You're good.
Score. What do you think?
We're at home. We're playing St. Louis, who's very injury depleted. St. Louis is going to try and make it a 0-0 game. If we can get that early goal, we can get many goals. If we can get that early goal, we can win 3-0. If we can't get that early goal, it's going to be a 1-0 game. I'm going to have optimism that we're going to get 3 goals. So I'm going to say 3-0.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I reserve the right to change my mind when I see the lineup.
Yeah, well, we're not recording again, so you can put that in your match day prediction.
That's right. I've done that a few times where my match day prediction has not matched up with my pregame prediction.
Oh, I certainly have, because I usually forget what I've said. God, I'm forgetful, SOB.
Well, where can they find you, good sir?
Well, they can find me in our Discord. I am the Scuttlebutt on there, but also Instagram, Aaron Langley, and Twitter. Aaron Langley.
All right.
What about you?
Well, on Discord, I am Nicholas. And on Instagram, I am Cascades2C. And I just don't really post much on Twitter, so I don't really use it. It's just mostly to catch up on news and that.
I really just want to answer you guys when you guys say that, because I honestly don't remember the last time I logged into Twitter. So, you can add me if you want, but Discord is where I will be probably talking, or, you know, maybe I'll get on Instagram a little bit more. I have no problem going on Instagram, and I want to, but anyway, indeed. It doesn't matter.
Indeed.
Well,
and of course, Cameron is a legal minded punk.
All our
little links are in the show description too. Yeah, pretty much. Right.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Well,
I think, yeah, pretty much. I can't think of another one.
No. No.
He's legal-minded punk. He's legal-minded punk. And we miss him, and I'm sure he'll be on the next one. And then you two guys are setting up our Ultras segments, right?
Yeah, I think he's working on that right now, kind of communicating to figure out how we're going to set that format up. But it'll be fun. Adding a little different spice to our episodes. But in the end...
Yeah, I surprised the hell out of me with that one. Yeah, I think it's cool. I love that he just didn't tell us. We're like, okay. That sounds good.
Well, I mean, it's like when I used our funds to go to Tahiti, you know? I just kind of did that without telling you. You know, I know you guys were upset at me, but...
We're a forgiving bunch.
I know. I took advantage of that. And I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we should also take advantage of the relationship that you guys have with James, who was polite enough to give us an outro on this wonderful show that we do. So, James, take us away.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.